But I wanted to spend one more Sunday in our Relation Slips series because relationships can slip. And I know the word has been helpful the last couple of weeks. You've communicated that to me, and I pray that you've been blessed. Last Sunday we talked about marriage, and I see our married couples back, so amen. You made it one more week. I believe you can make it one more. but this is such a huge thing, and it's such a massive need in our life, because common to all of us are relationships. We're all in them. Many of them, different kinds of relationships, regardless of how to yourself you may be, regardless of how lonely, quote unquote, you live life, you're still in relationships. If you have kids or a spouse or extended family, neighbors, coworkers, all of that, those are relationships. And you may say, well, I don't care about those people. I just live next door to them, or I just work with them. I'm not doing life with them. And I get that. There are different layers to our relationships, and we're definitely closer to some than we are to others. But it's common to us that we have relationships, and for a large percentage of us, I don't want to say all of us, and yet I'm tempted to, because I really am convicted that it's true, but for a very high percentage of us, we really were not taught how to have healthy relationships. And lots of reasons for that. That's not what this series is about. But the advice we got was do your best. Just do your best. And if all the information I have to do my best is the example of your dysfunction, my best is probably not going to be enough. My best is probably going to leave me frustrated and, unhappy and all of those challenges. And so relationships are just a huge part of our lives, and they absolutely affect us spiritually. And today, I'm gonna talk to you about your favorite subject, and that is your kids. I wanna talk to you about your kids. I wanna talk to you about what others would describe as the little crazies in your life. Yeah, those little crazies. I don't know about you, but I wanna parent on purpose. Here's what I know. Our kids deserve a chance in this crazy world. And so parents, we have a massive responsibility to raise our kids, to teach our kids, and to really set up our kids is really the right wording I'm looking for. To set up our kids for success. And to see them find happiness and their dreams coming true. But parenting, while it is a huge blessing, is a lot of work. It's a huge blessing. I mean, the smiles are awesome, but the difficult times they're big as well. Parenting, it's a huge blessing, but it's a lot of work. I don't know if this has dawned on you yet. Maybe you're new to this game, or maybe you've been in it for a while, or maybe you got multiple kids and you absolutely know, but kids are expensive. They eat a lot. I've got a 17-year-old that we cannot keep filled. likes to eat again pretty quick. Kids bring big changes to our lives. I don't know if you remember when you did not have kids and you wanted to go somewhere, you know, you were ready to leave. It was like, well, I'm ready to go. I think I'll just go. But then when you have kids and you're waiting on them, you know, to finish getting ready, you know, it's, hey, let's go. Hey, we said we were leaving. It's kids. Anybody? Hello? Are y'all coming? Where are you? Did you brush your teeth? Why not? Are you wearing those shoes? Well, at least put them on the right feet. It's hard work to leave the house. Kids are so sweet until they decide to be honest with you. Oh yeah, kids. Kids are honest, and sometimes it hurts our feelings. They're master manipulators. They're interrogators. They use sleep deprivation to break us. Finally, when we are worn down, we're like, yes, just have cake for breakfast. Walked into the cafe today and they were serving cake for breakfast. Amen. But the reality is, parents slip and kids slip, and the floors of every home are slippery. You know what? We need to grip the gifts today. We need to grip the gifts. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Skip down to verse number 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Children are a gift from God. I've had this message in the crock pot for the last couple of weeks, and every time I would go to add something or just to look back and study and fine tune and cross T's and dot I's, I just kept feeling the Spirit of the Lord welling up in me so strong. And I'll be honest, I got to get on my horse and ride a little faster today, because I've got a lot of message here for the time that we have remaining. But I really would love to just sit down on a chair and just talk through this, because we cannot get this wrong. Children are a gift from God. But here's the question I need to ask you. Do yours know that? Are you telling your kids that they are a gift from God? I want to encourage you to make sure that you tell them that as often as possible. What do I say? You tell them you're a champion. You tell them you are valued. You tell them, you know what, you're incredible. You're good looking. You're beautiful. You have what it takes to make it in this world. You have what it takes to be a success. You are chosen by God. You know why? Because God has entrusted these precious gifts to us. They were His first. He breathed life into them, and then He placed them in us, gave them to us so that we could raise them. He leaves it to us, the parents, to make sure that they know how special they are. Even the ones that you're frustrated with right now. Even the ones that you are mildly disappointed in right now. It needs to be an oft-stated thing between you and your kids. There's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. There's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. I don't know what that is, but if it can't be fixed, shut it down so it's not a distraction, if you don't mind. Proverbs 22 and 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive this far from him. It's on the parents to drive the foolishness out. Kids want to touch the burner. They're curious. Kids think nothing of running into the street. They stand too close to the fire because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And so correction is going to drive it far from him. And I know there's some gruff and tough dad or some mom, you know, that's just got a little too much stress, that's nodding their head right now and saying, yep, that's me. God gave me that job. I'd like to just tap you on the shoulder, Dad. I'd love to just whisper in your ear, Mom, to be careful with correction. I absolutely believe in correction, but I think our tone may need some adjustment, parents. I think parents are under stress like never before and under duress like never before and feeling the pressure of life like never before. And if we are not careful, if we're not careful, we will speak too harshly to our kids. And I know I hear it all the time. Well, that's the way I was raised and I turned out all right. Well, did you? I mean, I don't know. That's worth talking about. And because we turned out, you know, reasonably good, but why would you not want better for your kids? I'm not saying spoil them. I'm not saying look past their foolishness. I'm not saying look the other way when they're acting crazy. No, there needs to be correction and there needs to be, you know, an understanding and there need to be rules and there need to be all of those things. But just a word, parents, every student in this room ought to be saying, amen, Pastor Darrell, preach. Because it's happened in our home, where my kids have said, Dad, what's the deal? Are you stressed right now? What's the deal, Mom? What's going on? Because we're speaking too harshly or we're correcting too quick or we're being too short because of external things, other things that are happening that have nothing to do with our kids, but we bring that to the home and then our kids feel the pressure. I'm preaching good whether you think I am or not. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, direct your children onto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. Because parents, we cannot abdicate our responsibility. We cannot pass off our responsibility to raise our kids. We cannot abdicate the office of parenting to the church, to the school, to church kids, to church youth. We can't say, "Hey, you do it. I'm out. I'm stressed, or I've got to work, or I've got too much on me. So I'm depending on youth leaders or church kids leaders. I'm depending on somebody else. The church has to get this right." No, you and I as parents have to play our role. We have to play our role because our role is to train. Our role is to direct the church, church kids, church youth, small groups. All of that is a supplement to your role. All of that is in addition to what mom and dad, mom or dad, whoever is in this child's life, all of that is in addition to your role. And you say, that's exhausting. I know, it's exhausting. And from what I hear, it doesn't let up even as they get older. Because I walk with some of you that have grown kids and you're still worried about them. And you're still talking to them. I just saw my mom for a couple days this week and I've started calling her AK-47 questions. She turns that thing toward me and pulls that trigger and boom, 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 here come the, I mean, I'm 51 years old. I'm a grown man, but to her, I'm the baby of the family. I'm her youngest, and she's got to make sure that she can direct my path. I don't know if she's watching today, but if you are, I love you. Don't kick me out of the wheel. I'm here. But here's what parenting is. Parenting is the focused, intentional, consistent, God-dependent shepherding of our kids' hearts. I'm going to say that again because it would have been on the screen. Parenting is the focused. It's the intentional, consistent, God-dependent shepherding of our kids' hearts. And I want you to keep this in mind today because we talk a lot about God's plan for our lives, God's plan for your kids' lives. And you better know that God has a plan for your child's life. But you got to understand this, the enemy has a plan also. I don't want to focus on that. I don't want to give more attention than that deserves. But I know God has a plan. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to lean into that. I'm going to run hard after that. But I can't be unaware. I can't be oblivious. I can't be ignorant, as Paul said, to the enemy's devices. He has a plan also. And when it comes to the battle for my kids' souls, when it comes to the battle for their character, I have to be the loudest voice in the room. It's non-negotiable. Thank God for youth pastors. Thank God for youth leaders. Thank God for kids directors. But I will be the loudest voice in their life. But there's days, Pastor Darrell, I just don't have it. I don't know if I have it in me. I get it. You're not alone, parents, because this is hard work. It's a treacherous path. Oftentimes, that's why we needed one more Sunday to talk about relation slips. We needed one more Sunday to help and to add value. And I want to tell you today, there are four stages to parenting. This is not original to me, and it's not original to even our Sunday message. I've taught some of this before, used some of this. It's in books and popular, but it's the four stages of parenting. And here's sort of the foundation, Ecclesiastes 3:1, that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. So there is a stage, there is a season, there is a time for everything and for everyone. So let me give you the four stages of parenting. Stage one is the disciplining stage. The disciplining stage. It's on the screen so you can follow along with me and take notes and grab hold of this. This is typically ages 1-5. This is where we begin, the disciplining stage. You have to deal with dishonesty. You have to deal with disobedience. You have to deal with disrespect. Every parent, no matter who your child is or what you named them or what school you know, little mom's day out program or pre-K kind of a thing. No matter where you have them enrolled, you are going to have to do this disciplining stage. Because in this stage, kids are learning to interact with the world around them, and they're learning about the dangers that they need to avoid. Parents have to be consistent in drawing boundaries at this stage. Discipline should always be done in love, not in anger. Parents, see that little clip just a few minutes ago. The purpose of the discipline stage is to teach that actions have consequences. Consequences are not going to start, incidentally, when they turn 21. They're going to have consequences now. Whatever I do, it's going to cause reaction. It's going to, you know, it's age appropriate. Of course, age is 1 through 5, but actions are going to have consequences, both good and bad. And then stage two is the training stage. That's generally ages 6 to 11. Just going to give you some friendly advice. If you wait to start the disciplining stage when they hit 6, 9, 10, or 11, you're in trouble. Because by this stage, kids have learned about right and wrong in the home, but now they are at school and they're seeing how other kids act. They're meeting others that don't have the same rules that you have. They don't have the same disciplines that you're raising your kids with. And then they'll start telling you, well, you know, so-and-so has a phone. And this one's allowed to do sleepovers. And sleepovers. Let me go and say that right. Look at God filling my mouth today. You got to be consistent. No. This is what we're doing here. We're not parenting by committee. We're not parenting by multiple choice. This is what we've established in our home, which means what we do may disagree. It may conflict with what someone else does, but this is who we are. And then stage three is the coaching stage. Ages 12 to 18, again, another piece of advice: friendship with your child does not happen here. And I really, you may do it different in your house. I've just got years and years of experience walking through some dark days with families and some challenges, but in this stage, kids are forming their own identity. And just side note, they are being fought at every turn as they try to form their identity. You hearing what I'm saying today? They are being fought and told they have no identity, or they can just keep choosing another identity. They can choose another gender if they want. They can just do whatever they want. No, ladies and gentlemen, no. And they're also forming how they want their peers to perceive them. They are forming how they want their peers to perceive them. They are forming. I hesitate to go into the extremes, but I remember I was the baby. Kristen says I was spoiled. I do not believe I was spoiled, but I was a surprise to my parents. My brother is 7 years older than me. My sister is 5 years older than me. And I came along, 7 and 5 years after my siblings, and they always said I was spoiled again. I was just, I was just better than them. I don't know how else to say it. But I remember in elementary school, my mother would lay out my clothes, on the bed. She would lay them out, what I was going to wear to school. And I remember, I don't know exactly what grade I was in, but I remember it. And I walked in and I saw what was laying there and I thought, I'm not wearing that. That's not what I want to wear today. And so I rummaged through the closet and figured out where she kept this and that and, found something else and came out and I halfway matched. And so my mom said, all right, that's what you're going to wear today. Make sure you get those shoes on the right feet and all of that. Have you brushed your teeth? We went through all the things. But I remember being able to choose what I was going to wear. Kids, your kids, they desire more independence in this coaching stage. This 12 to 18 years old. They want a little independence from mom and dad. Now it's hey, will you just drop me off? I don't want you to walk me in. Can you just come back, you know, in a couple of hours? Can you just drop us at the square? You know, we'll be responsible. They're looking for a little bit of independence. And you know what, mom and dad, that is a natural part of growing up. Training your kids, raising your kids to move toward independence. Start moving from, you know what, you're going to do what I say and you're going to obey, or there's going to be consequences to, you know, we're going to talk about this because you're at the age that you need a reason behind. You need a why, the why behind the what. I'm giving you a directive, but you need to understand it. And so I want you to understand the purpose of the coaching stage is to release your kids to establish their own biblical convictions. And again, another side note, I'm your friend, I love you, but if church is optional for you while your kids are growing up, 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age, if you think that when they are in their own car and they have the power to choose that they are going to choose church, they will not. And so if I want to direct them toward the things of God, then I have to lead them and direct them and guide them and take them and them see me leading them and guiding them and directing them, because we want them to develop their own biblical convictions. Mama said, daddy said, grandmama prayed. None of that is going to be enough. At some point in their life, they're going to have to make a determination. They're going to have to choose. They're going to have to decide for themselves. And then that brings us to stage four, which is consultation and friendship. This is ages 19 plus. I've got one at this age group and one in the coaching age group. I have said recently about my older one, and I know one of my kids are here and the other one will probably watch in later this week, but I've said to my wife, you know what, we can't parent like that anymore, this one. We can't, we're in a different stage. She just turned 20 last week. We're in a different stage now. And I'll give you another piece of advice. Later is longer. What does that mean? If you'll wait for friendship, if you'll just reserve just a little bit, it's going to last longer. It's going to last longer. Because likely in this phase, your kids will have, moved out on their own. Maybe they're in college. Maybe they're living in a dorm somewhere. They're out, you know, from under your direct rule. Maybe they're outside of your grasp. Our daughter's at UGA just about an hour from our house, and her mama still worries. I was in Texas this week doing ministry, and it was about midnight my time, and Kristen was texting me at midnight saying, will you check on L? You know, and I'm thinking, it's 1 a.m. where you are, it's 1 a.m. where L is, and I'm going to bed. Elle ruined me when she took a missions trip into Central America and was gone for 3 months, and I didn't know, you know, where she was most of the time. And then she went to the Philippines and served at Ima's home for 2 months, and it kind of cured my worry because she was gallivanting all over the world, and I couldn't protect her. I couldn't be there to make everyday decisions for her. And so, Lord, she's just an hour away. It's going to be all right. But, you know, college girls start getting killed on campus, and you hear about people being robbed at gunpoint, and parents never stop worrying. But we're in the consultation and friendship stage. I don't think Elle will mind me saying it, but she's trying to make a decision right now, and she would love for me or her mother to make the decision for her. But we're a team. We're not doing that because Our role is consultation at this point. And I've literally said to her, I know you're trying to make a decision, and I know what I would like for you to do, and I know what Mom would like for you to do, but we are not going to make this decision for you. This has to be your decision. But what I want you to do is pray about this decision. Because the active parenting stage is over. I'm talking about the day-to-day parenting stage is over. And now our kids at that stage, this is where I'm living right now, we have, our kids have to take full responsibility for their choices. If I make this decision for you and it doesn't work out, guess who's gonna be at fault? You're gonna be on Oprah's couch talking about, well, you know, my daddy, you've got to make the choice. Do I have advice? Do I have guidance? Can I suggest? 100%. But the purpose of the friendship stage is to release your kids to be mature, responsible adults. We can counsel, we can advise, we can encourage, all of that. Yes, please remain a voice in your kids' lives, no matter how old they are. 51, mother, keep asking me questions. It's for my good. Secretly down deep, I'm thrilled I still have her. And she's asking me 47 questions a minute. I'm glad. But I encourage you to resist the urge to bail your kids out or to protect them from the consequences of their poor choices. Pray for them, cheer them on, but allow them to learn from their own mistakes. Is this helping anybody today? Let me go a little further. In the book of Deuteronomy, Israel has been wandering, 2 million people wandering. They're wandering between slavery and promise. This is their life. It's many layers and multiple generations from old to young. They're all on the same journey. It is their exodus. I believe all of us end up in an exodus at some point where we're dangling between deliverance and destiny. But you need to know God never leads us out of something without a plan to take us into something better. It's a truth you need to just get ingrained in your brain and in your spirit. This is why we believe in small groups. Because they are unashamedly about relationships. I don't care what the subject matter is. It doesn't matter if it's a John Brevere book. It doesn't matter if it's, we have a small group called the Happy Hookers. Did y'all know that? Who is running this church? It's a crochet group. What did y'all think that meant? Shame on y'all. But regardless of what the subject matter is, the small group is about relationships. Regardless of what piqued our interest, regardless of what called us and said, hey, I'm interested in crochet. I want to go find out what that is. It's kind of cool that we have lots of young people that signed up for a crochet small group. Maybe that was because of the title. Did you ever think about that? Staff meeting tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Regardless of the subject matter, it's about relationships. It's about building relationships, getting to know people, allowing people to get to know you. What is that about? Because I want to be surrounded by people who are pushing me forward rather than people pulling me backward. I want to be surrounded with people who are going the right direction. So Israel, like your kids, are they're dangling between deliverance and destiny. And Moses tells them to be focused on this. Deuteronomy 6, 5, 6 and 7. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. I was out of town a few days this week and got back early yesterday morning and came straight to the office and was doing work for several hours and then met Jude and met Kristen for dinner. And at some point in that meal, Jude was saying, tell me about this week. Tell me what it was. And before long, we were in deep conversation about the things of God and some things that I learned. And just a few minutes, he's saying, Dad, I want to go with you next time. I want to have that same experience. I want to listen to that. I want to hear that. Why? Because something got impressed upon him. Impress them on your children. These things that are important. These things that are valuable. These things that mean so much, because if you and I want our kids to live this, guess what? You and I have to live this. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. And we have to impress on them. That literally means to make a mark or to make a design using a stamp or a seal, to imprint this on them. You do realize that the world is trying to impress ideas and culture onto your kids. There are literally suicides lately that are tied to not getting the perfect selfie. Because our kids have self-image issues. The world is lying to say fake is real. You know what? Your Creator does not bless who you pretend to be. And so regardless of what the influencers post, and regardless of what they say, it's just more lies. They tell us more stuff. That'll make you feel better. It's another lie. They tell you sex outside of marriage, it doesn't cause issues. L-I-E, lie. Follow your feelings. It's a lie. Christianity is just another option. It's a lie. There is only one way. The world is impressing on your kids, which means you and I have to impress harder. We have to be more focused than ever before. And so let me close with some things we need to do to impress truth on our kids. Do we have just a moment? This is not going to be popular. You're not going to find this on social media. The influencers are not telling you what I'm telling you today. But if you want to impress your kids and impress truth on your kids, number one, you got to discipline them. Again, that's not abuse. I'm not talking about some out of bounds, overreacting, aggravation infused response. I'm talking about godly discipline. Our kids, ages 1 through 5, knowing they are not in charge. They need to know they're not in charge. An 18-month having a meltdown in the grocery store is one thing. A 4-year-old screaming, "I hate you!" We didn't do a lot of counting when our kids were small. One. Two. 2 1/4. We were mean parents. Then you get to 3 and there's no consequence, and so you start counting again. Just a couple of Sundays ago, I was going after church to pray with someone in the hospital in Athens and stopped to grab lunch on the way, and I was excited, you know, different restaurants there, and stop in to one of my favorites and get at a table by myself, and I'm excited. This meal's gonna be great, and the alone time is great, and you know, it's just, there were all these open tables over there, but they set me right beside looked to be a mom and a grandmother and a baby. She was old enough to run all around my table and everybody else's table, so however old that is. But I could hear everything they were saying, and the grandmother was so frustrated. She was trying to hold her peace, you know, and not tell her daughter, because that's probably been an issue, you know, I don't know, but I'm just reading this story that's being told to me at the table right beside me, and this little child was just, I mean, defiant in every way. And the mom, my heart did break for her, because I know she's overwhelmed, and I don't know, there wasn't a dad, another male at the table, so maybe she's a single parent. She didn't, you know, say anything like, "When you get home, your father," I didn't hear anything like that. So I could read all kinds of details and all kinds of things into that story that may not even be true, but I just know that they kept telling that little child, "I'm about to take you to the bathroom," which meant, you know, when we get there, I'm gonna spank you, paddle you, whatever the consequence is gonna be. "I'm about to take you to the bathroom." And that little girl would quiet down for just a moment. She would settle for just a moment. And I mean, 1.2 seconds later, she would be doing it again. And the mom would be saying, "Bathroom, bathroom," again. And she would settle down. And I mean, it was the fastest recovery you've ever seen. And then she's running over to my table and she's reaching and grabbing stuff off of my table. And Lord have mercy, there was something rising up in me wanting to say, can I talk to you in the fear of God? I just kept smiling, and it was a good day for me. Good day for me. I was proud of myself. Why are y'all laughing at me over there? I'm just being honest. But that entire meal, they were there as long as I was. They were in no hurry. But that entire meal was just frustrating, because there was a little crazy that was in control. We can't think misbehavior is cute. What's cute at 3 isn't so cute at 13. "He's so tired. He hasn't had his nap." "Ma'am, he's 17. But here's the deal, mom and dad. To discipline, you have to be disciplined. Got to be consistent. Number 1, discipline them. Number 2, train them to be faithful Christ followers. I don't know how long I've been preaching. My clock went off a long time ago, so I hope y'all are all right. Train them to be faithful Christ followers. Trainers lead. They teach. They model. Trainers are serving because they want their kids to serve. Trainers are attending because they want their kids to attend. They're engaging, they're giving, they're tithing because they are training. They want those they're training to do all of those things as well. Because trainers will correct. They will correct because they know that injury can occur from bad form. So they'll teach us how to do this better. Can I just encourage you today to train your kids to keep Jesus at the top of their priority list? At the top. I mean, when they're considering anything, whether it's weekend plans, whether it's careers, who they date, Lord have mercy, please, who they date, train them to keep Jesus at the top of their priority list. Train them to go to church. I get it. Well-meaning parents, we don't want to push church on our kids, but you know what? Likely the only reason you're in this room today is because your parent drug you to church. And somewhere a light bulb came on and a decision was made and a yes was declared and now you're here. But let me go a step further than that. Train them not just to attend, but to get connected at church. Release them to serve, empower them. We got them serving at young ages. We manage that, we monitor that, we're careful about that. Allow them to get into groups. I'll go a step further, train them to steward God's money by tithing. Because generosity is one of the main ways we live out our faith. Teach your kids what it means to intentionally set aside the tithe for God's house. Baby, take this envelope down and put it in the basket. Not because mama's tired. I don't feel like walking those 10 steps. Take this, baby. I'm so worn out from last week. No. Son, daughter, I want you to take this tithe, take this envelope, take this offering, go put it. It represents blessing on our family. It represents faithfulness, the faithfulness of God on our lives. Go put this in this basket. And then we're gonna talk this week about how good God has been to our family. Comes natural to me because I was raised by a tither. I wasn't raised by a rich woman. I was raised by a tither. My father left when I was 5. My mother had zero income. He was the manager of multiple retail stores and made good money. He left, took all of that with him. All we had was a house with a payment and a car with a payment. And my mother had started watching a little boy because we lived in a brand new neighborhood. My uncle was building houses and built our house. And so they got into the house at a good price because of my uncle's building and cutting some of those costs and profits for my parents. But my mother had started babysitting a little boy because there were no houses next door at that time. It ultimately became a full neighborhood, lived in neighborhood, but down several streets over, scarce houses in between, she started babysitting a little boy just so that I, her spoiled youngest, could have a playmate. And they were paying her a little money. That's the only money she had coming in. And she said, you know, got married at 18, right out of high school. Never really, you know, beyond just an odd and end job when I was young. I got married and depended on this man to support. And so she started adding kids. And I don't know if it was all legal. I really don't know. But my mother was running a full-fledged daycare out of our home. My sister left and said, I will never have kids. Done. I was raised by a tither, so it comes natural to me because I've seen it work in my life. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then Not, Lord, you bless me and then I'll be faithful. No, honor the Lord with what you have. Honor the Lord and then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. We've taught this to our kids. I keep all of the tax information and keep all of that in a folder, and at, you know, come tax time, I've got everything ready for filing. And I don't want to embarrass you, bud, but I remember seeing Jude's contribution statement, and he was literally tithing 30 cents, 75 cents. Somewhere he'd gotten $7.50 and was tithing 30 cents. I think it cost us 30 cents to process the transaction. And I literally said, bud, you know, if you want, you can, you know, you can bank a few of these together and do it at one time. And he said, Dad, I want to do it as soon as I get it. I don't know that I ever taught him that, but somewhere he caught that I want God's blessing on my life. I want God's favor on my life. So you know what? Do it. We'll pay every 30 cent transaction fee gladly, 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 because I'm honoring the Lord. I'm done. Impress on them that God has a plan for them. Train them, mom and dad, to protect their hearts. What they watch, the movies they watch, the music they listen to, the Netflix they binge, the YouTube that just keeps going one after another, after another, after another, after another. Train them to protect their hearts. Son, I trust you. I just don't trust the devil. We got to train them. Can't just assume that everything is going to work out right. So one, discipline. Two, train them to be faithful. Number three, speak life over them. Proverbs says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Listen, mom and dad, if you've ever spoken negatively over your kids, turn it around today. Change it today. Sit down and have a reset with your kids. Hey, I was out of line. God forbid that parents apologize to the kids. We're always demanding they apologize, not till you say sorry. We probably need to apologize to our kids. I have. Your greatest contribution to the world may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Are you hearing me today? Your greatest contribution to the world may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Father, I pray for our families today. I've taken too long to preach your word today, but I feel your word burning in my spirit. My heart is on fire today with the opportunity to grip our gifts. Our children are gifts from you. Today, I want to hold on to them. I want to guard them. I want to train them. I know there are parents parenting on every level in this room. Kids grown, gone, out of the house. Others with a car seat in tow today. And I pray that we could be a faith village today that helps one another and supports one another and loves one another and I know there's kids in this room, students in this room, young men, young women. Maybe they feel like I've made mistakes. I've done things I'm not proud of, and I need to be in shame. I need to hide my face. No, son, no, daughter. This is a hospital. There's healing here. There's grace here. There's mercy here. Today, Lord, this incredible presence we feel in this room, I pray, Lord, that it would follow us home. In fact, I'm asking you to go before us and fill our homes with your glory. Run into the bedrooms of our teenagers. Run into the family rooms where we all gather and laugh and talk, entertain and have fun. Help us today be the parents that our kids need. In Jesus' name.